Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Abundant Life Church, where we believe that God is a good God. He loves you and he wants to bless you. Now join us as we dive into today's message.
All right, let's do this thing. I want to get into this last teaching on Nehemiah today that the Lord has released for us to speak to this house. Now, I understand there's more than six chapters in Nehemiah, but I know the grace that the Lord has put on this teaching has been through this chapter of Nehemiah through chapter six. And I want to bring this thing to a close today. And then quick little plug, after Easter, we're going to start teaching from Jesus' passage, the Sermon on the Mount. On the Beatitudes. I already gave it a title, Attitude Adjustment. Some of y'all are going to need an attitude adjustment, and we're going to teach on it after. Tell somebody after Easter. But today, we got one more, Rise and Build. We're going to follow the life of Nehemiah. Tell somebody one more. One more. We got one more. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah chapter 6. And I want to spend some time today kind of going back to chapter 1 in order for us to conclude what I want to share with you at chapter 6. Now, we're not going to read through chapter 1, but I want to reference chapter 1 in order for us to understand why chapter 6 is so important. And if you haven't been following along with us, or if you have not read the book of Nehemiah, the story that we're following is this individual by the name of Nehemiah, and he had a mission. He had a purpose in his mission and his purpose. And within that mission and purpose, the Lord gave him vision to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls that were destroyed and to rehang and replace the gates and the doors that were burned by fire. And that's really the part of chapter one that I want to put our attention on. But again, if you have not read through this or have not been in this teaching with us, the Lord raised up Nehemiah as a mighty man of God that would go back and rebuild these walls. And the purpose of these walls was that the temple that was reconstructed would have the proper protection and would have the proper order so that worship could take place again, because the people of God had fallen away from worship, and they had begun to worship idols, and they had begun to live a life of sin, and they had begun to live a life that was opposite and contrary to the things of God. And long story short, they found themselves in captivity under a worldly rulership that they were never designed to be under. And so all of a sudden there was a remnant that began to rise up, and Nehemiah was part of that remnant, and he said, hold on a second, we got to get back to rebuilding these walls, and we got to get back to reestablishing order in worship, because as the people of God we have a covenant, and in that covenant there is blessing, and in that covenant there is protection, and in that covenant there's the ability to walk strong and to walk the way that God has given us the ability to walk. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You have a covenant with your God, with our God, and out of that covenant, God says, if you walk faithfully before me, I will bless you, I will protect you, I will restore everything that the enemy has taken away from you, because that's the God that we serve. And so here's Nehemiah, and Nehemiah, he is rebuilding the walls. He feels this pressure, a good pressure, a conviction in his heart to go and rebuild the walls. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, he gets news that the walls were in ruins. They've been broken down. The gates, the doors have been burned by fire, and he begins to weep and break before the Lord. And the first thing that he does is he begins to pray and to fast and get the mind of God and the heart of God about what he should do. And he quickly realized, I need to go and rebuild these walls. See, I think it's important for us to understand that while we're reading a story, it's very relevant to the life that we live, because what was taking place is that the temple was rebuilt. Worship was being reinstated, but the walls were broken. It's no different than when you give your life to Christ, the temple of God, your life, you're filled with the Spirit of God. You have Jesus, but what the enemy's aim is to do is to make sure that the walls do not get restored or repaired. And so what happens is that every single day, the enemy knows that you have Jesus, but he wants you to not live the way that Jesus has given you the ability to live. And so what he does is he seeks to destroy the walls. He seeks to go after the flesh. He seeks after to tear you down. That's why the Bible says in John 10:10, what does he do? He comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we know that Jesus says, I come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. But sometimes it's hard to know the abundant life when every single day our walls of our life are in ruins. And the walls of your life, the Lord wants to strengthen. The Lord wants to rebuild. The Lord wants you to know that you can be steadfast in him. But the enemy is coming after to tear down those walls. And so he'll use things like addiction to break down the walls. He'll use anger to tear down the walls. He'll use pornography to tear down the walls. He'll use drugs to tear down the walls. He'll use offense to tear down the walls. He'll use insecurity to tear down the walls. He'll use fear to tear down the walls. And the more you allow him to tear down the walls, the more you feel broken and exposed. And that's where the people of God were. The temple was rebuilt, but they were exposed. They had no protection. And the enemy is after to tear down the walls of your life. This is why it says in the book of Matthew in chapter 12 that when a man is set free and that unclean spirit is cast out of that house, that spirit, it roams around through dry places seeking to find rest, but it can't find any. So it comes back to that house, finding that house is now swept and in order. But what does it do? It goes out to get seven other more wicked, evil spirits to try and come and break down the doors. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is do not give a doorway to the devil. Do not let the devil have a doorway to your destiny. When the Lord sweeps it out and does a new work, you got to make sure that you are in position, that you are vigilant, that you are ready, that you are not allowing the enemy to infiltrate and tear down the walls. And this is what Nehemiah is seeing. The temple's back restored, but the walls need to be rebuilt. The enemy is coming in and out as they please, and this is not happening. I love the conviction that he has in his heart, and he says, not on my watch. I'm going to do something about this. And so what we begin to see is that the wall that Nehemiah is rebuilding, it's a standard. If I can just encourage you with that before we even jump in to what I want to share out of chapter 6, the wall is your standard. And I look around today and I see that many of us, we have breaks and cracks in our walls because we've lowered our standards. We've allowed our standards to look worldly and ungodly. And so we've got the form of godliness on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday, we're denying the power because we're allowing ourselves to compromise by accepting the standards of the world. I'm sorry, I am not allowing for my household to have the standards of the world. My wife and I, and we share this regularly because we've got two young children, we're hyper aware right now of worldly standards. And so we'll go into places and our spirits are quickly discerning things that are ungodly. When you go into places, you should be discerning when things are ungodly. And you shouldn't just sit there and say, well, I guess that's the way that it is. When you begin to assume that posture, you're allowing the enemy to begin to take residence in that place and in that area. See, the problem was this, is that they did not know how to drive the enemy out. The Bible even goes back to the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua in chapter 15, we find out that as the Lord is giving the promised land over to the people of God, they're driving out the enemy, they're driving out the enemy, they're driving out the enemy. But when they got to Jerusalem, the Bible says that the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem, they could not dislodge them, so they learned to live amongst them. And I'm here to tell you that you've got a power and an authority in Christ Jesus to drive out every devil that is trying to take residence in your life. You need to have godly standards and know that you have the authority to carry out those standards. I got to preach on me this morning because I feel very missional about this right now. We have to raise up a standard as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything may be permissible, but not everything is beneficial according to the book of Romans. And so there are things that the enemy is looking to do to get its foot in the door of your destiny, but you need to slam the door and say, not today, Satan. Not on my watch, not on my children's watch. For me and my house, we serve the Lord. So I'm going to raise up a standard, and I'm going to live a life that's godly and a life that's holy. And that's what Nehemiah was doing. He was saying, we're going to get back to having godly standards. But the ungodly did not like that. See, here's the thing that's interesting about Nehemiah, and I've shared this over our time together teaching, but Nehemiah, the name Nehemiah means comforter. And I find it being very symbolic of who Nehemiah is in this time, in the sense that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And here is Nehemiah, who's got the Spirit of God inside of him, and he's seeking to bring comfort, seeking to bring restoration, seeking to bring help. By the way, the Holy Spirit is known as your helper, and the Holy Spirit's also known as our convictor. He will bring a holy conviction. Nehemiah was going back to Jerusalem to bring a godly conviction that as the people of God, we can't lower our standards. We got to rebuild these walls. But the ungodly, the enemy, did not like that. They were getting upset. And I want to caution you, be careful about who you surround yourself with in your life. Because if people don't respect your heart for the hustle, they're not going to respect your work on the wall. Hear me on that. If they don't respect your heart, which should be the heart of the Lord for the things that you're going after, they're not going to respect the work that you're doing. And Sanballat and Tobiah, they didn't understand the heart of God. They didn't respect the heart. They didn't respect his hustle. Therefore, they were trying to break down the work that was on the wall. And if people don't understand the heart behind what you're doing, you need to be careful about who you're hanging out with. I only want people that are missional, people that I can do life with, that we are God-centered, God-fearing, going after the things that God's called us to do. And Nehemiah's like, hold on, I'm drawing a line in the sand on this one. And so what we find out is that Nehemiah looks at his problem and he has hope. Let me say this. If you look at your problem at your wall and you don't have hope, you're not walking in faith, you're walking in fear. If you are looking at your problem and you don't have hope, I'm saying this again, you're walking in fear, not in faith. Nehemiah saw his wall not as something that was going to keep him from purpose. He saw the wall as something that was going to lead them into purpose. He saw it as an opportunity. He was a man of faith, not of fear. And I want to tell you that this morning, is that the enemy wants to get you in such a fearful state that you'll never complete the work that God has for your life. That you'll never fulfill the plans and the purpose that God has for your life, the plans that the Lord has for this church. But the good God of heaven said, I will prosper you, therefore rise and build. Let me speak that over the house this morning. The God of heaven shall prosper you, therefore rise and build. You are who God says that you are, not who the world says that you are. Be a people of faith. Be a people of purpose. Rise and build. So Nehemiah starts the work on the wall. And in chapter 4, we find out that the wall is built up halfway. The enemy comes against them, begins to try and really discourage them. And all through chapter 4, we find out that in this time that's going on, as they're rebuilding and as they've got good momentum. And isn't that interesting? It's whenever you've got momentum, that's when the enemy begins to show himself. And so Nehemiah doesn't play into the discouraging words that the enemy has. And Nehemiah, what he begins to do is he begins to place the people of God that are working on the walls in position. And he charges them, as you remember, in the end of chapter 4, he says, now begin to fight for one another. Don't fight with one another, fight for one another. Husbands and wives, don't fight with one another, fight for one another. And that's what he says. He says, fight for the fathers, fight for the mothers, fight for the sisters, fight for the brothers, fight for the people of God. Let's get in position and let's fulfill what God's called us to do, guys. And so they're in position and they're building, and then we find out that Nehemiah had to address some internal issues. We taught on that a couple of weeks ago, and they weren't really acting godly. The godly people weren't acting godly. And so, you know, there was a lot of church hurt that was going on. And so Nehemiah's like, hold on a second. You know, let me deal with some of these offenses in the room really quick. And, you know, if I were to be just a fly on the wall, I could see him, you know, just putting out fires left and right and trying to teach about how to have godly fellowship and loving one another and all the teachings that hadn't come out yet by Jesus. I could see him, though, saying that, forgive your brother, 70 times 7. Nehemiah, that's a bad math equation. Let's get on the wall. Like, that's what Peter said. How many times should I forgive my brother? Jesus says 70 times 7. In other words, always forgive, right? So Nehemiah's dealing with some internal issues. Then they get back to work, and here we are, chapter 6. Oh, Pastor, thank you. We finally got to chapter 6. You got to understand the background. Because if you don't know the background, you're not going to appreciate the blessing. So in chapter 6, here they are. And the Bible says this, starting in verse 1. Now, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, and that there was no break left. When there was no, I love that, break left in it, although I had not had time to set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together in the village in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm, and I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work. I love that. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way that Sanballat, in the same way Sanballat for the fifth time sent the servant to me with an open letter in his hand. And it was written, and it was reported among the nations, and Geshem also says that you and the Jews intend to rebel, and that is why you are building the wall. According to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah, and now the king will hear of these reports. So now come, and let us take counsel together. Let's stop there at verse 7 really quick. So what we're finding out is this. Here's Nehemiah. He's at home stretch. He's finishing the work. He's on the top of the walls. And as he's finishing the work, and he's on top of the walls, here's the same enemy coming to him saying, hey, why don't you come down and let's talk about this? Have you ever had somebody, while you were in the middle of working on something really important, your kids don't count, and they begin to distract you from getting the job done? So here's the enemy. My kids can distract me all I want, to a point. I was just thinking the other night, I was putting on a new toilet seat in our house, and my son was trying to help me, and then all of the screws and all the pieces fell into the toilet, and then I had to fish it out. That just went right, I just saw that right through there. I was just replying that. They're awesome. Have you ever been on top of the wall trying to get the job done? Or over the toilet trying to get the seat fixed? And someone tries to interrupt your plans and trying to get you to stop the work that you're doing. Now understand this, here's Nehemiah. I mean, the dude is like at the very end of getting the job done. He's already dismissed the enemy in chapter 4. But the enemy comes back, which, by the way, the devil does not have this like, okay, you know, they had a good defense the first time, I guess I'm going to stop. The enemy's going to keep coming after you. Yeah. And it's your response. It's how you respond to the enemy, which, by the way, that's why Ephesians chapter 6 says that you need to be strong and mighty in the Lord. You need to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand the wiles of the enemy. Stand everything the enemy tries to come at you with. You got to be in a place that you are steadfast, that you are prepared, and that you are ready, that as the people of God, you're fit for the fight. Well, let's just take a minute right there. I'm here to tell you, as the people of God, you're fit for the fight. You're fit for the fight. Because when you're walking in faith, you've got your fight mode on. There's nothing that the devil can do to take you out. He'll try to intimidate you, which we'll find out here in a moment. But I'm here to tell you, when you are strong and mighty in God, you're fit for the fight. And so Nehemiah is trying to get the work done. And so the enemy comes and says, hey, why don't you stop what you're doing and let's have a talk about the situation. Four times. I mean, I get annoyed in the flesh when someone just keeps blowing me up over and over and over about the same thing. Like they blew up Nehemiah and he was like, hey, listen, let them know I'm not coming down off the wall, right? 2 moments later, he gets hit up again. Like, seriously, do you not understand? I'm not getting off the wall. Then a third time, like, seriously? Like, I'm going to ice you, brother, if you just keep blowing up my phone over and over. No means no, telemarketer. Leave me alone. Like, do you ever get to that place where you're like, you've had it? Enough's enough? This is where Nehemiah is at, and he's like, let them know. No, I will not get off the wall. I want to tell you, by the way, do not get off the wall. The enemy will try and coerce you in getting off the wall. He'll try to deceive you because that's what was going on. That Sanballat came and said, listen, there's an open letter. There's a poll that's gone out amongst the people. And so what everyone is saying is that all the work that you've been doing is so that you can now become their king and you're going to overthrow the current king that's in position in place right now. And so the Bible says that they came with an open letter. You know what an open letter is? It's an unofficial letter. It's not signed. It's not sealed. It's not documented. You know what it is? It's a nasty Instagram comment. That's all that it is. It's unofficial. And so they come to Nehemiah and they try to deceive him in getting off the wall. I want to tell you, the devil, he's a deceiver. He's going to try and get you off the wall. He's going to try and trick you to thinking that it's okay to stop what you're doing for a moment and pay attention to what he's doing. Stop paying attention to what he's doing. Just keep building. Just keep swimming. Just keep moving. Just keep going. He's going to try and deceive you and get you out of position. And if he can't deceive you, he will try to defame you. Hear this. If the enemy can't deceive you and trick you to get out of position and to forfeit your position, what he will do is he will look to discredit who you are amongst people. And if he knows that he can get you to be in a place that you feel discredited or defamed, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to let everybody know that that's not the truth. And then what we do is we exert energy fighting battles that we don't need to fight. How many times does that happen online? Well, so-and-so posted a comment. Who really cares? Walk away. Delete the comment. Pay no attention to it. Yeah, but it's so hard. I want them to have a piece of my mind. No, you don't want them to have a piece of your mind. You need to be a witness. Leave the comment alone. Walk away from it. Leave that conversation. That's what I like, that new feature on the phone. You can leave group text messages. So-and-so left conversation. Because I don't want to be a part of it if it's not godly. Sorry, I'm riffing for a little bit. I'm in a mode right now. But the devil will look to discredit you, to defame you, right? What is he doing? He's the accuser. He's trying to accuse you of what's wrong. I want to encourage you today, just continue to do what's right. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care if he uses people, places, and things to rise up and to try and say an incorrect story about me. My trust is in the Lord, and the Lord will fight my battles. Your trust is in the Lord, and the Lord will fight your battles. So the enemy tried to defame him, tried to deceive him, and then they said this, guess what? If you don't come down and take counsel with us, then we're just going to come after and destroy you. And that's what they told him here. We find out that the Bible says that in this passage of chapter 6, after these reports went out, Sanballat says, let us take counsel. Verse 8, then I sent to him saying, no such things have been done. These are the reports, the lies that they're spreading. And he says, I love this, you invent them. You invent these lies. The devil has to make stuff up. But when you're living right and you're doing what's right, you got nothing to worry about. He says, you invent this trash. You invent this nonsense. I'm not playing into this. And so he says in verse 9, for all they wanted to do was to frighten us. So the enemy is going to try and deceive you and defame you to try and put fear inside of you. They were trying to frighten Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was not having it. And I love this. He says, for all that they wanted was to frighten our thinking. Their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Now, God, strengthen the people of God's hands. Strengthen our hands that we can finish the work. Verse 10 says, now I went into the house of Shammai, the son of Delai, and the son of Meherdabel, and was confined to his home, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. So we find out that the enemy was trying to deceive him. We find out that the enemy was trying to defame him, and now the enemy is trying to destroy them. You can't afford to let the devil and the enemy and his tricks to distract you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us this, that a good soldier does not get entangled in civilian pursuits. But what he does is he seeks to carry out the mission and to please the one who's enlisted him. But then Paul goes on further and he says this, is he says, an athlete is crowned when he plays according to the rules of the game. And then he says, and a farmer, a hard-working farmer, is the one who has rights to the crops that are first, or that first come forth from the ground. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy in his own way, don't get off the wall, because Timothy is building a church. But I love Paul's verbiage as he says, you need to be a soldier, you need to be an athlete, and you need to be a farmer. A soldier is not going to get entangled and be deceived and get off the path. He's going to fulfill the mission. An athlete, a true athlete, is going to play according to the rules. And if they're good, then they'll win. Only people that don't play according to the rules and win, those are the ones that play shady. But a good athlete, a true athlete that plays according to the rules, that's the one that's going to be crowned. And then he goes on, he says, and a hardworking farmer is the one that's going to have a right to the crops that come forth. And a farmer is not just one that's planting seeds, but he's also tilling and protecting the ground. He's holding his ground. So here we have Sanballat who's coming in, who's trying to deceive Nehemiah. And Nehemiah saying, I'm a good soldier. I'm not getting entangled into this mess. Then he tries to defame him, tries to get him not by playing by according to the rules. And he says, no, I have got a job that I'm doing. Here's what the mission of the Lord is. I'm not getting outside of this thing. I'm going to finish the job. And now we see the enemy is trying to destroy him, but here he is holding his ground as a good farmer. No, because a harvest is going to come forth. I want to tell you, you got to hold your ground until that harvest comes forth, because the devil is going to try and get you out of position so you miss your harvest. I'm not missing the harvest. We're not missing the harvest. This is our year to flourish. And so Nehemiah I love it. He's just like, no, I'm not coming down. So now watch this. This is wild. Because what we just read is that he went into the house of Shammai, and Shammai is now telling him, listen, why don't you go to the house of God? Because you can find a refuge there. They're going to seek you and kill you. Now, you got to understand, according to the culture of the time, if you are not a priest or a prophet, you did not have a right to go into the temple. It was the Holy of Holies. And what was happening is they were trying to trick him into violating God's protocol. In other words, they were trying to get now, they said, well, we can't get him off the wall. Well, maybe we can get him to sin against God. And what happened was they used a man of God to get him to get into that temple. The man of God or the priest came to him and says, hey, listen, why don't you come to the temple? Why is it so important? Because the devil can use spiritual things to get you out of position as well. The devil can use the most godly things to get you to miss the mark. That's why we have to have a spirit of discernment. That's why we have to be read up in our word, rightfully dividing the truth, knowing how to stand our ground. The enemy can use anything, the godly and the ungodly, to get you out of position. And what we, I love this, what you see here is it says, so he says to him, let us close the doors of the temple, for they're coming to kill you. They're going to come and kill you by night, verse 11. But I said, should such a man as I run away? Man, does that fire me up. Do I look like you're going to intimidate me? Do I look like I'm going to cower back? Do I look like I'm going to back down? Should such a man as I run away? Some of you got to get some godly grit in this fight. Some of you got to get after and say, I know who I am. I ain't running away. I ain't got no spirit of fear. I walk with power, love, and a sound mind. Like you got to get that fight. You got to get after it and say, no, I am going to fulfill the good work that God's assigned for my life. Who am I to run away? If God's anointed you for it and appointed you for it, why should you back away from it? And so we look at this passage and it goes on and he says, why should I run away? And I love this. And what man such as I could go into the temple? Because he realized and recognized, I don't have a right to actually go into the temple. This is reserved for the priests. And so then as it begins to unfold, he says, I will not go in. I refuse to sin. And I understood and saw that God had not sent this priest. I love that. I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced a prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Watch out for the hired prophets. For this purpose, he was hired that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin, and so that they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember, I love this, Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, according to the things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. Got to watch out for them parking lot prophets, man. I don't know who Noadiah was other than that she was a prophetess, and it was enough that was trying to incite fear into the people of God and all the other prophets. Listen, I'm telling you, you're going to finish up this sermon today and someone's going to walk in here, well, pastor preached kind of harsh and blah, 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 and say a whole bunch of nonsense, and that's when you need to say, you better lock it up. That's something you would say. I feel this militant, like, thing coming up in me. I'm going to walk away from you, Minister Wilder. You can, like, I'm 1 degree from going off. He's got an awesome book. It's called 1 Degree. It's really good. But you got to be careful because people will try and get into your ear. And they will lead you to believe that they are speaking and acting as a voice for your life. And you gotta have a spirit of discernment. I don't say this to scare anybody. I'm just saying you gotta have a spirit of discernment. In fact, this is why anybody that has a spiritual word or a word for my life, I don't receive it on my own. In fact, I don't even say I receive that unless if it bears witness with my heart. I bring another person with me into the mix because there are people sometimes that think that they are motivated giving a word, but it might not line up at all. And there's been times that there has been words spoken over my life that's been on the money. And then there's been times that people have just, I don't know, maybe they just felt like they wanted to be spiritual and say something nice, and it was made no sense and it came of nothing. What I'm saying is use a spirit of discernment, and I guard myself. Paul's very specific about this. Make sure you got two or three people together if you're going to start giving words. Now, I'm not here to talk about that, but Nehemiah, he perceived that what was coming forth was not godly. And he said, because God would not make me violate his own order. And if anything is ever trying to get you to violate God's own order, it's not of God, it's of the devil. And so here's Nehemiah, and he said, I ain't playing that game. I will not go in. So watch this. They try to get him off the wall, and he wouldn't come down. They try to get him into the temple. He would not go in. And then the Bible says here, here's the crowning jewel of this entire series, right here, verse 15. The crown jewel says this in verse 15, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul, which is the month of September, by the way. Why is that important? Because it's the hottest time of year in Jerusalem. You're not having too many Israel visits at that time of year. Why is that important? Because these brothers and sisters built a wall in 52 days under the most unruly conditions. They were willing to grind and sweat and work and get after it and pay the price because they knew that this mattered. They knew that the wall was worth it. When you know that the wall is worth it, you will do whatever it takes to finish the work on the wall. And so the Bible, it says right here in verse 15 that it was finished on the 25th day. In 52 days, what took over 100 years? When the people of God had a mind to work, they accomplished in 52 days. What maybe has taken you years, when you have the mind of God this year in 2024, you'll flourish and you'll complete what God has for your life. 52 days, they accomplished this. And as the scripture goes on, it says, when our enemies heard about it, all the nations around us, they were afraid and they fell greatly on their own esteem because they thought this would never happen. See, the devil thinks that what you're called to do will never happen. In fact, he will get you to be your own worst enemy. Sometimes we talk about how people have done us wrong or people have, you know, hurt us. Did you know that you do yourself more wrong than anybody else? We talk more harshly and poorly about ourselves than anybody else ever will. Because the devil knows if he can get into your mind, he'll get you to speak things that will plant poison in your heart. But when you have the mind of God and you begin to declare the good things and the word of the Lord, that I'm going to flourish, I'm going to be planted in his house, I am called to be prosperous, it scares the devil. He's going to fall on his own words. And so they complete the wall. It says that they accomplished this work with the help of our God. They accomplish. We will accomplish. We will rise and build, not because it's in our strength or our might or our power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. I want to close with this last thought this morning. I'll have our worship team go ahead and come up. I was praying about this, and see, they finished the work on the wall, but here's the deal. The enemy still didn't stop. The enemy, a few scriptures later, says that they continued to send threatening letters to Nehemiah to now get him out of the city. So here's the deal. If the enemy can't get you down, he's going to try and get you into a situation for you to compromise. And if he can't get you into that situation, he's going to try and get you out and away from where you're supposed to be. He'll try to get you to come down, try to get you in, or try to get you out. I want to tell you, stay steadfast. Stay steadfast. I don't have time to expand on this part right here, but if you want to know how to get your faith jacked, like jacked, 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, supplement your faith. Anybody know supplements? Like if you're hitting the gym or you're an athlete, you take supplements so that your game can be better, right? He says, supplement your faith with virtue. And with your virtue, knowledge, and with knowledge, self-control, and with self-control, patience, and with patience, godliness, and with godliness, brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection, love. I'll do that as a whole series at a separate time. But the point is this, he says, if you supplement your faith with these things, you will always be increasing, you'll be fruitful, and you'll be effective. But if you're not increasing your faith with these things, you'll be ineffective and fruitless. You might as well be nearsighted and blind. That's what 2 Peter says. And so the point is this, is that when you add to your faith virtue, meaning I'm seeking to live my life with excellence. When I'm adding to my faith knowledge, Lord, I want to know more of you. I want my life to be filled with you. When I'm adding to my faith, self-control. Oh man, there's so many things that wants to get me off the wall and into trouble and out of position, but self-control, Lord, I rest in you because I'm going to finish the work. Now add to my self-control patience because some of us, we want the work to be done now. Who doesn't want the wall to already be done? But patience, steadfast, hold the course. Don't give up. God is with you. He's given you the ability to prosper. He's given you the ability to finish the work. He's given you the ability to triumph. He's given you the ability to be victorious. Be patient. He'll work it all out. Live godly. Live holy. Love one another. Brotherly affection. Be devoted to each other's best. That's loving. Nehemiah had all these characteristics, and that's why he was a man of faith, and he was not a man of fear. His faith is what kept him in position. His faith is what finished the work. He gave his life to the work. I thought about this. You know who else gave their life to the work? Jesus. See, they couldn't get Nehemiah off the wall. No different than they couldn't get Jesus off the cross. Do you realize that they told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, demonstrate your power and get yourself off the cross? What they failed to realize is that Jesus didn't need the power to get down off the cross. He needed the power to remain on the cross. His cross was worth dying for. Nehemiah's wall was worth dying for. Your cross is worth dying for. That's why the Bible says, deny yourself, pick up your cross. Our crosses are all going to look different. Our walls are all going to look different. But at the end of the day, it all points to one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And the devil wants to get you. He wants to come after you. He wants to cause you to come down. Do not come down. Stay steadfast. Finish the work. My Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast to our confession of faith, for the one who is promised, he is faithful. When you hold fast, he's faithful. When you hold fast, he is faithful. When you remain in position, he is faithful. I'm here to tell you this year, God's calling us to rise and to build and to flourish. Hold fast to your confession. I don't know what it is that the Lord's put in your heart, what dream, what plan, what purpose. I know as the church, the Lord has put a purpose in our heart that we're going to reach our world with life. I'm not getting off the wall. I'm not going to let the systems of this world get me to come down off the wall. I'm not going to relent. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to be steadfast. We're going to increase. We're going to be effective. There's a work and a job to be done. There are people that are waiting on us right now to receive the love of Jesus. And how will they know if we don't go? How will they know if we don't go? There's walls all around us that the Lord is assigning us to build up. Who can you build up this week? Whose walls can you help build up this week? You know, this wasn't even Nehemiah's wall. It wasn't his. He wasn't saying, hey, people, come build my thing. Come build my kingdom. He was saying, this is about God. Let's come together and let's build a work for God. So this week, who can we build up?
Thank you for listening. We trust that what you heard today has encouraged you to live the abundant life. For more information about our ministry, please visit us on our website, abundantlife.tv, or follow us on Instagram at abundantlife_TV and Facebook at Come to Life. And remember, God is a good God. He loves you and he wants to bless you.